Welcome back to HN Pod, your daily audio dive into the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Today is Saturday, June 6th, 2026, and this is episode number 418. As always, we are covering the most interesting stories that hit the front page yesterday, June 5th.
We have a really fascinating lineup for you today, Mike. We are looking at a massive philosophical shift in how the Ladybird browser is being developed, a new documentary celebrating 40 years of C++, and a major payment infrastructure changeover at gov.uk.
Plus, we will be diving into a real-life spy thriller with a paper tracing GPS interference over Europe. And finally, a tense situation up on the International Space Station, with astronauts having to shelter in their SpaceX Dragon capsule.
Let us jump right into our first story, which grabbed over 800 points yesterday. It is a blog post from Andreas Kling about the Ladybird browser. For those who might not follow it closely, Ladybird is an independent, from-scratch web browser that has been gaining a lot of traction. But yesterday, they announced a huge change to their development model. They are no longer accepting public pull requests.
Yeah, this is a massive shift for a high-profile open-source project. From now on, code changes to the Ladybird codebase will only be introduced by project maintainers. They are closing all currently open public pull requests and basically shutting the door on drive-by contributions.
The reasoning behind this is what really sparked the discussion on Hacker News. Andreas explicitly points to AI tools as the catalyst. He wrote that for decades, code contributions were how open source projects learned who to trust. A substantial patch meant someone put in substantial effort, and that effort was a proxy for good faith. But AI has completely broken that equation.
Exactly. He pointed out that it has become incredibly fast and cheap to produce work that looks like a serious contribution. And for a web browser, which is essentially a giant engine for running untrusted code from the internet, the security implications are terrifying. We have already seen patient, well-resourced campaigns where malicious actors earn maintainer trust just to abuse it later. Think about the XCUtils backdoor situation a couple of years ago.
Right. And the top comment on Hacker News simply said, "Sorry." It perfectly captured the mood. It is this collective realization that the golden age of just throwing a pull request over the wall to a major project might be ending because of AI-generated spam and sophisticated supply chain attacks.
It makes total sense, though. Ladybird is moving towards its first alpha release for real users. Every line of code that goes in becomes the maintainer's responsibility. They simply do not have the bandwidth to vet the intent behind every AI-generated patch. They still want bug reports and testing, but the code itself is going to be a walled garden maintained by a core circle of trust.
It is a sobering look at how AI is changing the economics of open source maintenance. Speaking of the history of coding, our next story is about a language that has been around a lot longer than AI coding assistants. Herb Sutter posted about a new documentary released on YouTube called C++, The Documentary. It pulled in nearly 400 points.
This is a really cool project. It is a deep dive into the 40-year history of C++, from its humble beginnings at Bell Labs to becoming one of the most widely used languages in the world. The documentary features interviews with heavyweights like Bjarne Straustrup, the creator of the language, Chris Lattner, who created LLVM in Swift, and even John Romero talking about using it for games like Doom and Quake.
The Hacker News thread on this was pure nostalgia, mixed with the usual passionate language debates. One user mentioned Ken Thompson's famous criticism of C++ being a complex garbage heap of ideas, which is a sentiment you still see a lot today, especially with the rise of Rust.
Oh, the Rust versus C++ debate definitely made an appearance in the comments. But the real gold in the thread came from Walter Bright, the creator of the D programming language. He chimed in with some incredible firsthand history. He created Zortec C++, which was the first native C++ compiler for DOS back in the 80s.
Yes, I loved reading his comments. He shared a story about contacting AT&T's intellectual property lawyer back then to ask if he needed a license to create a C++ compiler or if he had to change the name. The lawyer laughed, told him he could do whatever he wanted, and thanked him for being the only compiler guy to actually ask for permission.
Walter also made a fascinating claim that Zortec C++ basically saved the language from obscurity. At the time, CFront, the original compiler, was agonizingly slow and almost unusable on DOS, which is where 90% of programming was happening. Zortec fixed those problems, sold like crazy, and forced companies like Borland and Microsoft to abandon their own proprietary object-oriented C projects and adopt C++ instead.
It is wild to think about how the landscape of modern software could look completely different if a single compiler on DOS had not taken off. It is a great reminder that technology is often shaped just as much by historical accidents and market timing as it is by pure language design.
Definitely. Moving from programming languages to infrastructure, our next story is about a major shift in the UK government. Gov.uk has announced they're replacing Stripe with the Dutch payment provider Adyen for many of their services. This is a 3-year contract worth up to £25.3 million.
Gov.uk Pay is the centralized payment system used by hundreds of local authorities, police forces, and government services in the UK. They process everything from passport renewals to local council fees. The transition is going to migrate around 1,000 services to Adyen.
The most interesting part of this move is the push for a feature called Pay by Bank. This relies on open banking to transfer money directly between bank accounts, meaning users do not have to type in their credit card details. It is faster, and more importantly, it bypasses the traditional credit card networks.
And that brought up a huge discussion on Hacker News about payment processing fees. One commenter pointed out that payment processing costs in the US feel like a total scam compared to Europe. In the EU, credit card interchange fees are legally capped at 0.3%. In the US, they can be as high as 4%.
Yeah, someone in the thread broke down their Stripe fees for a 10-euro transaction from a US account, and it ended up being around 8% total after international card fees, currency conversion, and the flat transaction fee. It is brutal for small businesses.
It really highlights the difference in financial regulation. In the US, those high fees fund the massive credit card rewards programs that everyone loves, but it is essentially a wealth transfer mechanism. By moving to Adyen and pushing for open banking, the UK government is clearly trying to cut out the middlemen and reduce those transaction costs at a national scale.
It is a smart move for public money. Speaking of international infrastructure, our fourth story is straight out of a sci-fi novel. A new paper published on Archive details the tracing of a powerful GNSS, or Global Navigation Satellite System, interference source over Europe.
We have heard a lot about GPS jamming recently, especially around Eastern Europe and the Baltic Sea. But this paper is unique because it is not just talking about ground-based jammers. The researchers used data collected from 2019 to 2026 from terrestrial reference stations to detect and identify a space-based interference source.
Right. They blended received power and time difference of arrival measurements to track the source. And their conclusion is wild. They confidently identified the interference source as a constellation of Russian early warning satellites in Molniya orbits.
For context, a Molniya orbit is a highly elliptical orbit designed to provide long communication times over high northern latitudes, which is perfect for covering Russia and northern Europe. The Hacker News comments were full of people sharing their own experiences with this. Users working on construction projects in Romania near Ukraine or in Polish waters near Kaliningrad reported dealing with GPS jamming on a daily basis.
One commenter asked if this jamming was affecting Russian citizens in places like Kaliningrad as well. The general consensus in the replies was yes, but the government simply does not care. Someone mentioned watching a video where Russian ride-sharing apps explicitly tell users the GPS is wrong, and they have to manually drop a pin for their pickup location.
It really shows how electronic warfare has just become a mundane reality for millions of people. It's not just military drones losing signal. It's delivery drivers, commercial flights, and maritime shipping all having to fall back on older navigation methods because the fundamental infrastructure of GPS is being actively disrupted from space.
It is a stark reminder of how fragile our reliance on satellite technology really is. And that actually leads us perfectly into our final story of the day, which also involves space and fragile infrastructure. Yesterday, astronauts on the International Space Station were ordered to take shelter inside their docked SpaceX Crew Dragon capsule while repairs were being made to an air leak.
This story got a lot of attention, and for good reason. Whenever NASA tells astronauts to shelter in their return vehicle, it means things are serious. The issue is in the Russians' Vesta service module, specifically a small transfer tunnel that connects to a docking port.
Our listeners might remember that this is not a new problem. This specific leak has been a known issue since 2019. There are microscopic structural cracks in the walls that have been slowly venting air into space. NASA actually classifies it as the station's highest level safety risk. Earlier this year, they thought they had stabilized it, but the leak returned and escalated to losing about a kilogram of air per day.
The reason they had to shelter in the Dragon capsule is that two Russian cosmonauts were actively working inside the leaking section to try and permanently patch it. If the cracks suddenly widened during the repair, the station could lose pressure faster than the life support systems could handle. By sitting in the sealed Dragon capsule in their pressure suits, the rest of the crew had a guaranteed lifeboat ready to undock at a moment's notice.
The Hacker News thread had some great technical insights into how they actually find these leaks. One user highlighted a NASA tool called the Robotic External Leak Locator, or REL. It is basically a remote-controlled robot equipped with a mass spectrometer that crawls around the outside of the station, sniffing for ammonia and other gases to pinpoint microscopic holes.
That is incredible. Someone joked that its whole purpose is to crawl around outside and smell for astronaut breath. But on a serious note, the discussion really highlighted the age of the ISS. It is a nearly 30-year-old structure weighing 500 tons. It is constantly subjected to radiation, micrometeorites, extreme heating and cooling cycles, and the physical stress of spacecraft docking and undocking.
Yeah, someone pointed out the incident in 2021 when the Russian Nauka module accidentally fired its thrusters after docking, spinning the entire station around 540 degrees. That put a massive amount of unexpected structural stress on the aging metal. It is honestly a miracle of engineering that the station functions as well as it does, but it is clear that it is reaching the end of its operational life.
It also highlights just how critical SpaceX has become to the entire space program. The Dragon capsule wasn't just a taxi. It functioned as an active emergency bunker for the crew. Thankfully, the latest reports say the astronauts were cleared to return to the main station after the repair work was paused to assess the data. One of the leaks was reportedly sealed, but they're still evaluating the second one.
It is definitely a situation we will be keeping an eye on. And that wraps up our top stories for today, from the changing trust models in open source software and the history of C++ to international payment systems and the harsh realities of orbital infrastructure. It was a heavy news day.
It really was. Thank you all for tuning in to episode 418 of HNPod. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with a friend or leave us a review. We will be back tomorrow with more of the top discussions from Hacker News. Have a great weekend, everyone.